running on a Saturday evening. A little Saturday night fever for you if you do. 888-808-1019, the telephone number. Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan. Can hit me up on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. Aptly titled there. Lots to do. 5 hours to roll through, taking you till midnight tonight right here on The Fan. And we got lots of sports to get into. But before we get to any of that, of course, burying the lead, right? What's everybody talking about? The snow's coming. The snow is coming. Yes, of course, the snow is coming. You would think the reaction of people that the forecast was calling for dinosaurs to be dropped from the sky. I mean, people have lost their ever-loving mind. I was driving in listening to Ricky, and he's down in Florida doing the show down there, and he's talking about this is the calm before the storm. That's only because he's down in Florida. The storm is going on right now. If you have gone to a supermarket in the last 48 hours, that was the storm. That was tougher to deal with than anything we are going to have over the next 24 hours in terms of the actual weather. And if you have not yet, if you are like a late person and you like to leave things to the last minute, you say, you know what, I'll run out to the supermarket tonight, beat the crowds. Once everybody else is out of the way, don't bother. I can tell you, don't bother. There are giant tumbleweeds blowing through Stop and Shops throughout New Jersey right now because there's nothing left. People have even taken the vegan food off the shelves. That shows you how desperate people are. Even the low-calorie stuff, the vegan stuff, the vegetarian stuff, it's all gone. People are willing to try anything. Apparently, what do people think is going to happen? You think you're going to be batten down for a week and a half? That there's not going to be anything? You're not going to see people outside of your house for the next week or two? And the snow, we'll see what ends up happening. The last forecast I saw was 6 to 12 inches. It's like we're making it out like we've never seen snow before. It's like we have snow every single winter. We understand what happens. The gas stations, gas up the car, get all the food. We don't eat this. Get it anyway. Don't know how long we're going to be stuck in the house. And I always love when the forecasters or the news people tell you, look, if you don't need to leave the house, don't. If you're not used to driving in the weather, don't leave the house unless it's an emergency stay. Don't worry. You don't need to tell me twice. You don't have to tell me once. That was my plan for the weekend regardless. That was my plan today. There was no snow today, but it was like 15 degrees outside. I didn't want to leave the house today. I had to take the dog for a walk. The dog was climbing the walls, following me around. Oh, we going outside now? Oh, all right, let's go outside now. Let's get it out of the way. So, of course, if you want all the latest on the storm, you don't have enough storm coverage. They are locked in over on 1010 Winds, 92.3 FM. This is what they live for over there. So make sure you are tuned to 1010 Winds for all the latest snow information. In case you don't have enough snow information, even before the snow gets here. I was watching the forecast the other day. The weathermen, they have just got a complete scam going on there. They just come up with terms to make it seem like there's more going on than there really is. I saw something the other day. They were giving me the forecast. They said it was the future cast. As opposed to what? The past cast? It's a forecast, right? We're not going to tell me what happened 2 days ago. 3 days ago, it was sunny outside. No, it's a forecast. It's about the future. The future cast. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to get into. 888-808-1019, the telephone number. The Mets and the Yankees super busy in the course of this next week. We get the last real big weekend of football where you can plop yourself down on the couch as if the numbers weren't going to be off the charts in terms of the ratings this weekend anyway, with the last two big games this week, the AFC Championship, the NFC Championship game, with the snow in the Northeast. Everybody's going to be stuck in their house for a month on end. It's going to be like the day after tomorrow. But I did want to open up with the Knicks. The Knicks have kind of been floating a little under the radar of the baseball offseason and all the football stuff with the coaching carousel and the Giants adding John Harbaugh and the Jets going door to door trying to find a new defensive coordinator. Nobody's home. They don't want to answer the door. They're standing behind the door saying, I'm not going out there. Might be the Jets. But I did want to touch on the Knicks because the Knicks go out today, an important game. They go down to Philadelphia, Although it didn't sound like it was Philadelphia. It kind of sounded like it was the Garden a little bit. And the Knicks go and pull out a win, 112 to 109. Beat the Sixers, so a good win, a second win in a row, and hopefully a sign that the Knicks are starting to come out of this slump that they've been in really since the NBA Cup kind of wrapped up. And today, OG Anunoby, big offensive performance, hit some big shots down the stretch, hit a big three, had a big putback slam as the Knicks had I think it was a 17-point lead, got cut down to five in the fourth quarter, and just when you're thinking, oh boy, here we go again, and what are we going to feel like if the Knicks blow this game as well? He had some big plays. Also in this one, it was Landry Shamet with a couple of big plays. And credit to Mike Brown, who decided to run with a smaller lineup down the stretch of this game with OG pretty much, I think. I was in the car, so listening to it was a little tough to kind of get some of the information. But OG was playing a lot on Embiid down the stretch, and that's what you need to, you know, if you're playing with a small lineup, you need somebody to step up against the big guy they had, and he was able to do just enough so the Knicks can hang on and get a win. Now, look, the final couple of minutes of this game, it was like the referees were trying to be the player of the game. I mean, they were all over it. It was a complete mess. A lot of the calls, I think they got wrong. The Knicks were lucky enough to still have a challenge left, so they challenged one call. They overturned it. So the Knicks get a win. So credit to them coming out and at least putting together a decent effort and maybe starting to turn the corner off this terrible stretch. But this is a very important stretch for the Knicks right now because the trade deadline is quickly approaching. And, you know, we focus on what the goals are for this season, right? Like when they fired Tibbs, everybody's on the same page. We can't go back and have any revisionist history. The Knicks have the clearest cut goal of a season of any team in this town. And it is they must get to the NBA Finals at the very least this season. Otherwise, the season is a failure. We didn't need to go through all the different reasons for that. But, you know, it's funny because we say that as fans, right? And you put that on Leon Rose because he's the one that decided after last year to get rid of Tibbs. And whether you were in favor of that or not, when you get rid of the coach that way and you lose in the Eastern Conference Finals, whoever that is, you're saying we didn't reach what our ceiling was. This coach failed us in a way, especially when you go into an offseason and you don't make any major roster moves. You don't change the talent up all that much, the main pieces. So I was thinking, you know, it's been about 3 weeks since the Carton Show had on James Dolan. And I saw a clip, I was scrolling on TikTok, and one of the clips kind of came up from that interview a few weeks ago. And it was Dolan talking about Tibbs and how he won't say that you can't win a title with Tibbs, but we needed to make a different move to reach our ceiling, basically. And he made it clear in that interview, his belief is that this is a championship team. He does not look at this as a team that can just get to the finals. He expects this to be a team that can win the finals this year. So it's not that long ago when we used to talk about good owners or bad owners. When you brought up the worst owner in this town, that name always came up was James Dolan. The idea was the Knicks will never win as long as James Dolan is the owner of the Knicks. He'll always interfere. He'll always get in the way. And it really just shows you there is a fine line between good owners and bad owners. And it's basically all based on the people they hire. Did they hire the right people or did they hire the wrong people? A perfect example is what happened in Buffalo. Up until the Bills lost to the Broncos last week, I think most of us, if asked about the Bills' ownership, we'd say, oh, that's a good, Terry Pegula's a good owner. He's got good people in place. They have a stable organization. They haven't been able to win a Super Bowl yet, but good ownership group. And then they lose that game, a game which they were the road team going up against the number one seed in the conference and lost in overtime on a field goal in a game where the quarterback just kept turning the ball over. And they have that press conference where it's all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, Terry Pegula is a disaster. That was a disastrous press conference. And it just shows you the difference between being a good owner and a bad owner is just the people you put in place sometimes. And it really has nothing to do with the owner so much. And certainly with the Bills, it seems like Josh Allen was the one who's kind of covered up a lot of the dysfunction because he's just so great that you don't recognize the dysfunction in that organization. But since firing Sean McDermott, which was a completely justifiable football decision after 9 years there, losing in the playoffs the same kind of way every single year, not being able to get over the hump, but that press conference and the answers that he gave or didn't give make you feel completely different about that organization. So to bring this back to the Knicks and to James Dolan and the interview on the Carton Show, we got less than 2 weeks now until the NBA trade deadline. So for the Knicks, they've got to get this turned around because it's more important than us thinking this or the coach thinking this or the players thinking this or Leon Rose thinking. The owner is expecting this. And whoever you blame, I think at the end of the day, you have to think that Leon Rose was responsible for making the coaching change last year with the Knicks, right? Leon Rose thought that the roster was better than what the Knicks put out there against the Pacers, losing in the Eastern Conference Finals and not getting to the NBA Finals last year. So that's why you make the change. But you have to at least think that the owner had some say in that as well. And maybe if the Knicks don't match up to what the goal is this year, the changes could be significant. Now, I don't think that Leon Rose would be out, but that's why this stretch is so important before the trade deadline. The Knicks have to show, look, we've had a little bit of a down spell here during the regular season, but we're still the team that we expect to be come playoff time. And it's been a while. This stretch has been long enough to have some concerns about, do we need to make a change? Do we need to make a trade? Is it just a minor trade? Is it something involving Cat? If you trade Cat, what can you possibly get back for a player making that much money who's been this disappointing? Or is it that simply the coach is not doing a good enough job? Now, I don't know why you would think that the coach would have been anything different than what he has been here. Mike Brown's tenure and track record is long enough to know, yeah, he'll do a good job opening up your offense and he'll experiment with lineups and all this type of stuff. But defensively, your team is probably not going to be that good, especially moving off of somebody like Tom Thibodeau, who stressed defense night in and night out. So a very important stretch coming up for the Knicks here. And I think an important win, you got to start stacking some wins. And to go out and blow out the Nets, that doesn't say anything. That doesn't do anything. It kind of alleviates the pressure for the moment. But the Nets are not trying to win games. So if you beat them by 50, you beat them by 500. Who really cares? Going and beating a Sixers team that you very well could see in the playoffs, that's more important, especially on the road with the way the Knicks have played. So it's important to start stacking wins. So an important one. And this was not flawless by any stretch of the imagination. Karl-Anthony Towns fouled out, only had 10 points in the game, only played 16 minutes. So there are other issues that you're going to have to fix. And it feels like, structurally, there are some problems with this team. Like, the Knicks are not getting the best version of Karl-Anthony Towns. So when you talk about the coaching change, the idea of the coaching change was, we're going to bring in a new voice, we're going to play in a different way, and part of that is we're going to experiment with more lineups and we're going to use the bench more, and that's all great. But it's also about getting the best out of your star players. And that has not been the case, especially not with Karl-Anthony Towns this year. So I don't know what needs to change. It feels like there's some sort of disconnect in the locker room from what you heard from Josh Hart the other night talking about Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't know how you fix that, but I think what you can say is that the current coach is not doing a very good job. Coaching at the end of the day is maximizing the talent that you have at your disposal. And whatever you thought of Tibbs or whatever you thought of Mike Brown, no one can make the argument right now that the current coach is doing a good job of maximizing that talent given the performance of the Knicks players. Now, is part of that on the Knicks players as well? Sure, of course. But the big change, we saw these same players play under a different coach and they played a different style and they played with more energy and they were more engaged and they tried to win every single night. And energy and effort very rarely was something that was a concern during the Tibbs era. That has been brought up more than enough during this stretch that it makes you wonder, even in year one with Mike Brown, if we have another week of this where the Knicks, after this performance, aren't able to stack this up, they go back to playing like how they played for the last month, there's going to have to be a change made because the owner is expecting big things this year. The owner is expecting championship this year. And this is an owner not that long ago we all said was impulsive and reactionary and all these type of things. And when you're bad, that kind of makes sense, right? If you're an owner of a sports team and every single year they're an embarrassment, wouldn't you be reactionary? Wouldn't you be impulsive? Wouldn't you be ticked off? Your organization can't get out of its own way with all the people you hire and fire, and you're paying all these millions of dollars and it never gets turned around. So that makes sense. And it would also make sense now that Leon Rose is there and has been successful building up this organization and putting them back on the right track and getting them into playoffs year in and year out, that you would think the owner would be like, all right, I got the right guy now. I can kind of sit back and allow the people in charge to run it. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe James Dolan is still the same guy who's impulsive and is expecting results. And if he's expecting, which he said out loud on the radio station, on the Carton Show, he expects a championship this year, I would say it behooves everybody on the Knicks, especially Mike Brown, especially the players themselves, to get this thing rolling almost immediately. Because time is starting to run out. And if you're an organization, if you're Leon Rose with this much riding on this season, the trade deadline is coming up fast approaching. And you have to be thinking to yourself, is this actually the group we thought we had? Is the ceiling what we thought it was? Is it still that ceiling? Because at least for a good stretch of this season, at least since the NBA Cup, they have not looked like that team at all. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019. Let's get some phone calls in. We'll start things off with Teddy in Yonkers. Teddy, first up on the Fan.
Hey, Gordon. Gordon, love listening to you. Your analysis is superb. I love talking to you. And I agree
too,
with you many things. Let me just make some points.
Okay.
And I want you to comment. What did Hart say specifically, if you're allowed to tell me, about Karl Anthony Towns in that interview?
I'll pull up the exact quote. I don't want to like misquote him. But the fact that he was bringing up Karl Anthony Towns and saying like he didn't care about the offense, he cares about the blocks, basically saying, I'll find the exact quote because I don't want to take him out of context, but it was almost like, you know, he has to be more of an impact on the defensive side.
On the he feels he has to be an impact on the defensive side.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, and he should be, and Hart was saying he has to be more offensive-minded also. Right?
Karl Anthony Towns as a facilitator on the floor this year and last year. It's a little bit different. We're basketball players. We got to be able to adapt to different situations. Coaches have to be able to adapt to their players, and we have to adapt to the coaches. That was not the quote I was looking for. There's a good middle ground. I'll find the exact quote in the break.
All right. But Gordon, after watching the Knicks play today, Gordon, I do not think that they have the talent to win the East. I think Detroit is a hell of a team, and I don't know if they're going to be able to beat Detroit. And the rest of the teams, I mean, the Philly is a good team. Embiid is healthier this year than he was last year and the year before. And Maxey, they got a good team. I hope I'm dead wrong, Gordon. I agree with you. You're on target. But here's the thing about
Here's the quote, Teddy. I'll give it to you, and I'll give it to the audience. I don't want to hear too much about his touches, meaning Karl Anthony Towns. I want to hear about him blocking shots. So that's him saying that Karl Anthony Towns has to be a bigger impact on the defensive side. It's not just about the offensive stuff.
Okay, gotcha. Gordon, let me ask you. If they fired Tibbs because the owner felt that they didn't get to the plateau that they expected, wouldn't that apply then with the Yankees?
It should. They're two sides of the same coin, unfortunately. Where the Yankees, they think that they obviously don't have that pressure to win right now, right? They're different owners and there's different approaches. And James Dolan certainly has a higher standard for what he expects his team to be. Now, the Yankees have been far more successful over the time here. I got to get rid of you there, Teddy. You got some songs playing in the background. Don't know what's going on there. But, it's different sides of the same coin, unfortunately. I think with Dolan, maybe he's a little too impulsive. With the Yankees, they're not impulsive enough. And look, it's the same kind of situation. I've brought up this analogy before. Like, when the Knicks move off of Tibbs, it might be the right. Now, I didn't love the way they did it, but it might be the right call. We see this in sports. If you're a big sports fan, you see teams all the time where they can get to a certain level, and they fire the coach, and then they bring somebody else in, and then they finally get over the hump. The best example that I can think of, 96 Yankees, right? 95 Yankees have been building up. They feel like that Buck Showalter just doesn't have the right approach with the players. They need a calmer hand to help the players relax in big moments. They bring in the old hand and Joe Torre. The rest is history. Of course, the Yankees did the same thing. 2017, they decide to move off of Joe Girardi. Same kind of right grinder type of approach. They need a different voice. They need a different approach that can relate to the players, unlock the players, unlock the potential. Didn't turn out to be the case. And anybody who would tell you when they made that move, like the Yankees themselves, Brian Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner, if you would have said to them, if you make this move and we've gone, 9 years and you've still not won a World Series, is that a success? Of course not. It's a failure. But the Yankees, this organization is the opposite of what it was like when George was running things. George, it was constant change. It was constant chaos. And that was bad. That was too much. Now the Yankees have overcorrected. And if you've ever driven in the snow, we brought up the snow. You don't want to overcorrect. You don't want to overcorrect. 888-808-1019. Let's go out to, Al is in Jersey. Al, there you are. Al, what's going on, pal? You're next on the fan.
New Jersey. Keyport, New Jersey.
Right. Yes, of course. Not just any New Jersey. 25
miles straight to the Statue of Liberty in a straight line on the bay.
All right.
Beautiful place. The Times did an article about Keyport. Check it out.
Okay.
Anyway, I called about the Knicks.
All right.
And besides, Joe Girardi ruined Gary Sanchez. I'm going to just say that. But anyway, if Jalen Brunson didn't show up, they would have all been fired. Rose, Thibodeau, all of them. So, I called before and said this a year ago. He saved the whole city. Without him there, they would have been all gone. And Browns know better. Their perimeter defense. Thibodeau hung his hat on defense. Their defense was terrible when he was there. That last game when Halliburton made that shot, they should have been face guarding him. He should have never got the ball, even though it only tied the game up and it went in overtime. They should have never went that far. Thibodeau was terrible. He deserved to get fired. They didn't even say bad stuff about him. It's probably even worse than you know. Towns, terrible. $52 million, he couldn't stop water going down a drain. I mean, Embiid, he was using him up like Kleenex. You know what I'm saying? It was terrible.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, Tibbs, you can say what you want about Tibbs, but the team played far harder on a night-in, night-out basis. Now, look, again.
They were terrible at the end of the game.
How often did you see them talk about, our effort wasn't good enough? They've talked about that now for a month.
Maybe those people don't know basketball.
No, the players. The players are saying their effort isn't good enough. This isn't us schmoes saying it. It's the actual guys playing in games. And in terms of Gary Sanchez being ruined by Joe Girardi, boy, that's the long term. The side effects of Joe Girardi, they're long-lasting, apparently, because Joe Girardi, the last year he managed Gary Sanchez, that was, 2017, I believe. That year, Gary Sanchez, .278, .345 on base, .531 slugging, OPS plus of .126. Got MVP votes that year. Never reached that same OPS ever again. Ever again. Never got MVP votes ever again. So, no, you could blame Joe Girardi if you want for certain things. Maybe he didn't win enough to keep the job, although he got him far. He got him to within a game of the World Series with the Baby Bombers, and the idea of making the change then was to unlock the potential of all the Baby Bombers. They need a different voice. Apparently, they did not need a different voice. Apparently, the next voice didn't do anything any better because the next year, Gary Sanchez... with 2018, 89 games, hit .186, .291. Am I right? Is that 2018? Was that Boone's first year? I got to find this. Why is my mouse is not working? I have mouse problems. 2018, yeah, that was the first year of Boone, right? I'm right. I know. See, all these callers, they keep telling you have such a great point. I need more confidence in myself. Yeah, 2018. So Gary Sanchez was ruined by Joe Girardi, but then as soon as Joe Girardi left, he hit 100 points less the next year. He got hurt, obviously, only played 89 games. His slugging dropped by 130 points. Now, he did bounce back the following year to a certain degree, but he was never as good as he was with Joe Girardi. Now, Joe Girardi only had him for a couple of years, but he was better with Joe Girardi than he ever was with Aaron Boone or anyone else, right? He's kind of bounced around the majors ever since then. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019 coming up. More of your phone calls. We'll get into more with the Knicks and the NBA and the playoffs coming up. That too far away. The trade deadline quickly approaching. A critical time for the New York Knicks. We'll touch on some baseball stuff, the football. Lots to do. Just getting started on a Saturday night. It's Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan.